What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Second hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And yay, we have sunshine. A little bit sunny day today. Yesterday, a lot of rain. Gray and rainy. Sunshine today. With that being said, we say hello and good morning to Predators General Manager David Poile. He's on the line with us. David, how you doing?
Good, Darren. Yeah, sunshine. And feels like the NHL and hockey has sunshine, too. We've got a chance to be playing here.
So no doubt. No doubt about it.
Very happy about that.
Well, and I'm glad we are, as is everybody. So let me just start there. Do you feel like, I'm sorry, I've got Roman in the background barking at something. I should have closed the door. My apologies. Were you satisfied?
He's excited hockey could be back.
He is very excited that hockey is back. Were you satisfied with the return to play format, with everything that was put out there from Commissioner Gary Bettman?
Yes, I think the situation that we have now where we all know that it was not going to be perfect or fit everybody exactly the way they thought it would be fair. I think it's turned out very, very well. I would like to know at the end of the day, because, you know, we're involved in a lot of talks with managers, the league, et cetera, et cetera. There was so many different formats thrown out there. And this one I feel is as good as any that I heard or was part of. And, again, you can be picky as to the number of teams and, you know, whether we should have finished the regular season and on and on and on. But this is the format that gets us back to play. I think it gives the top teams a bye and a little bit of a break based on them being the best teams in the regular season, so they don't get eliminated in their play in round robin. And for teams like ourselves, in Arizona, who we're going to play, I mean, we were in on the last day of the regular season on March 12th. They were out. But having said that, you know, if we can beat them, then we're in the round of 16. And I think all in all, that's as good as we can or should expect if we're actually going to get this season and resumed and started and then eventually finished and award a Stanley Cup.
Was Nashville ever in consideration to be on the list of one of the hub cities?
Yes, we were right there at the beginning when they asked, if you will, to you know, for teams that were of interest. And you know, there's a lot of things that go into it in terms of your you know, how your city has been affected by the COVID, obviously that your setup in our proximity to the arena, to hotels and things like that, and the practice facilities that are open and available. And then you have to have the facilities and dressing rooms for up to 12 teams. And I think that we checked off a lot of boxes. I think one of the boxes that we didn't check off on off was probably just having enough dressing rooms. This is going to be quite the situation to move teams in and out. I've heard they're going to try to play as many as three games a day. So a lot of these teams, or sites, I should say, that are being considered, actually are the ones that have NBA teams. Not exclusively, but they have multiple dressing rooms and what have you, because the NBA won't be playing there because they're going to be going to it off-site like we're doing too. So, yeah, we wanted to do it, and we thought, and as I think the league did in a lot of cases, we would be a very good fit. But at the end of the day, I think they've chosen other sites because of maybe the NBA component and just having more dressing rooms available.
Interesting. David Poile on the line with us. So yesterday we kind of discussed, and it's been left open for once you get into the official first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, the first and second rounds still yet to be determined. For 5 or 7 game series, we kind of played both sides, which one made more sense. And I think we made a lot of good points for both. So how do you try to come up with what makes the most sense for everybody whenever that decision is made. How do you go about trying to figure that out?
Well, I think you probably wear a lot of different hats when you're making that decision, your hockey decision, maybe as a doctor in health concerns. I think the 3 out of 5 is obviously 2 games shorter than a 7-game series, but I think if you did, you know, 2 series, 3 out of 5 to play in round, first round of the playoffs, for example, you cut off the days that you're going to be in this bubble and, again, some health concerns or whatever. Well, from a hockey perspective, we've always been used to in recent history the 4 out of 7s, and that seems to be how our playoff setup has been handled for years and years, and is what the players think is probably the fairest amount of games to play to determine who the best team is amongst 2 teams in the playoff series. I don't think it's been a negotiation between ourselves and the players. I don't think it's enough to, you know, really put a huge fight upon. I'd be fine to go either way myself. I just would be a little cautious of how many days this is going to take to play from the time we leave Nashville to arrive in the hub city that we play in. I understand we're going to be in that hub city approximately a week beforehand to get used to the facilities and skating and play 2 preseason or exhibition games. So, you know, the time is going to start to mount that you're away from your families. And, you know, that's probably another thing that has to be negotiated with the players, and especially with the teams that have ultimate success and play in the second, third, and the final round of the playoffs.
How does this format, the 24-team format, affect how you and your staff go about general manager duties? In other words, your roster. How is that comprised? What wiggle room do you have? How much can you carry? How does that change how you would normally operate to how you'll operate under this system?
Well, first of all, we're going to be told the number, and the number that we have been told at this time is when your training camp starts and when you go into the play-in or playoffs, whatever we're calling it, that you can have 28 players, plus forwards and defensemen, and as many goaltenders as you want. So we finished up the season in Nashville with 22 skaters and 2 goaltenders. So that means that we can add whoever we want, and goaltenders, which would be, we have 2 down in Milwaukee, which I'm thinking at the moment that we'd bring them both up, Connor Ingram and Troy Grosnick, 2 really good goaltenders. And then that would give us 6 players that we could add. We're carrying 8 defensemen right now. Is the right number 9 or 10? We're carrying 14 forwards. So, you know, you can just add up the numbers we want. Just to get to 5 lines? Do we want to get to 6 lines for practice? We're going to have a training camp situation. We're going to practice, you know, up to three weeks, I understand, to get ready for this. So, you know, maybe just on numbers, you know, 10 defensemen and 18 forwards, maybe that makes good symmetry, 6 lines, 5 sets of pairs of defensemen. So we got to decide that officially, and then we've got to you know, we got to sit down with our coaches and then determine with the players. I think we, you know, within 1 or 2 players, we're pretty confident of who we're going to call up and who should fit into those spots. It'd be a little bit of eye on for sure who could help us in terms of injuries as we play Arizona in the first round, and also maybe a little bit of eye on the future. You know, I'm hinting like towards like a younger player, like a Tolvin and something like that would probably get called up.
Talking to David Poile, Predators general manager. So many things going on right now as the NHL continues to try to work their way back onto the ice for this tournament. David, let me ask this. This is a lot of athletes that I see asking questions like, hey, my wife is expecting somewhere during this time where we could still be playing. Am I going to be allowed to leave the bubble, so to speak? What are the rules on that? I guess that's not quite determined yet. I've seen more than one sport athlete asking that type of question. What kind of discussions have you guys had along those lines on that so far?
I think this is all a process that is, as I find it, that I answered 1 or 2 questions, and when I answer those questions, about 5 more questions get developed because of those answers.
Right.
And so it's so many people are involved. Like you can just start with like opening our facilities. at Bridgestone. I'm envisioning that player would drive in, get out of his car, and before he actually got into the heart of the building or in our dressing room, he'd have his temperature taken, and then also have some kind of a testing take place. And then we have a situation where we've been told right now the max number of players you can have at any one on ice session is six. So that's going to be a 2 or 3 hour process between working out, stretching, rehabilitation on ice, and then all of our people will have to sanitize our dressing room again. So that's not answering your question directly, but I've heard of people that have diabetes, and there's nothing that's going to get done here or accomplished or advanced until we can provide as best we possibly can with everybody's concerns in terms of safety and health. And I think every day we move a little bit closer and we answer more of these questions. But as you just asked me, and I just stated, more questions get brought up. So this is not an easy thing. It's not a sure thing that it's just because Gary Bettman, NHL, along with the PA, made their announcement. When we have a plan and we have some dates, it's still a lot of questions that have to be answered. I think even when we open our facility, for example, on our voluntary skates, and I say that, again, it's voluntary. The players don't have to participate until we formally have training camp. They may not want to do that the first couple of days to see how it goes with the strengths, what the weaknesses are of the systems. And I understand that in terms of their concerns. So try to get educated, try to learn more every day, and try to get in a place where everybody, meaning players, our staff, feels comfortable so we can come back successfully.
I know this is would be a private thing for an individual, but there are some players that have been used as examples league-wide that do have a health underlying, not that keeps them from playing, but something that they've been dealing with their whole lives in some cases. But to your knowledge, is there anybody, without mentioning names or anything, is there anybody that you would have concerns for among the players that you would have out there?
On our team, again, as a general thing, I have concerns for everybody, not just our players, our staff, our trainers, our equipment people that have to deal with it on a daily basis. But in terms of specific to something on our team, no, I don't believe there's something like what I've heard on other teams, like people that have diabetes or some pre-existing, condition. I mean, I've talked to a few players. I think they all want to play. It doesn't feel like to me we have anybody that is more concerned than I would say what's normal out there. But we still got a lot of things to get more knowledgeable about. And obviously the better and testing that we get, the sooner we get it, all of those things. I mean, nothing's going to happen until we get testing. And I think, obviously the league wouldn't have made that announcement unless we were very close on arranging some form of testing.
And I know there's a handful of guys that went home. They took that option to do that, whether that be in Canada or Sweden or wherever. What's the communication process with those guys as to when they get the green light to come back and then prepare themselves, do what they need to do to if there's a quarantine situation or something, but while they transition from home back to home base in Nashville, where are we in the process there? Are you not ready to have to make that call yet?
Well, we're not allowed to make that call yet. We have 11 players out of the 24 players that finish the season here in Nashville, which means we have a lot of guys that are, I think it's four guys, I believe, in Canada, and the rest are in Europe. So we're going to have to be dealing with, governments, health officials, the mandatory 14-day quarantine period. Is that going to exist in a couple of weeks? Is that should there be exceptions to that? For example, these players, say a European player, he's gone back home because the restrictions are much looser in, say, Finland or Sweden, and they're skating and working out and have facilities on a daily basis. If they're told that they have to come back here to Nashville and then they have to serve a 14-day quarantine, that kind of defeated the purpose of them going back home to get into better shape. So for the second time, as I say, you asked a good question, but when you ask the question, it's almost like there's a couple of other questions that come up and are unanswered. I would hope as we open our facilities, and I would hope as we get closer to whatever this training camp date is going to be, which we were told would be between July 1st and July 15th, that there'd be enough notice for our players to come back and then to do whatever they had to do to respect the rules and regulations on if there's any quarantine, so that they could seamlessly get back into our organization and into our facilities and onto the ice and to do their regular things. But I don't have that answer right now.
We're talking to Nashville Predators General Manager David Poile here on Darren Donick and Chase. And one thing, David, that we've talked about on this show, and you know, I know for you, you only deal with Commissioner Gary Bettman. You don't deal with the other sports commissioners, but it's always felt like he's very accessible, whether it's to the media or behind the scenes, or, you know, he's out in front of things. So I'm just curious, through this process, what your conversations have been like, whether it's with the league or with Gary Bettman himself, and just how upfront and accessible he has been through this entire process.
Gary is very accessible to anyone and everyone. It's if anybody deserves to have like 28 hours in a day, it should be Gary Bettman, because I don't know when the guy sleeps. He just he works. He and Bill Daly are just unbelievable in their, you know, commitment to not just during this COVID-19, but in everything that they do. So I'm a huge have huge respect for them, their work ethic, and their communication skills. This has been, speaking for them, which I shouldn't be, is probably the difficult situation that they've ever had to handle, because you're dealing with ownership, managers, players association on a daily basis. I mean, you know, we have the business side of our organization that's got 100 questions. Then you got the hockey side, which I'm representing, that's got 100 questions a day. And as we started this conversation about the format, not one size fits all in this situation. Everybody's got different problems that have been brought about by this COVID-19, and there's clearly nothing fair or equal in what and how organizations are thinking. So, you know, Gary Bettman has got his plate full in terms of, you know, dealing with all sorts of different people. And so, you know, we're talking with the players thing. I think there's on the business part of it. I mean, there's been a lot of revenue that has been lost by not finishing out the regular season and then playing games, if we are allowed to do that eventually without any fans. We have a deal with the players in our collective bargaining that we share everything 50-50. So, you know, there's a lot of things that need to be taken into consideration, have to be worked out. Probably a lot of things that need to be starting to be worked out for whatever the 2021 season looks like, because, you know, when we're going to start, when we're going to finish, whether we're going to have fans, whether we're going to have, you know, some fans, you know, on and on and on. And then, you know, again, dealing with the players' escrow, for example, their last paycheck, we have cut the checks, but the players have not cashed they've actually asked us to retain the money at this point. And that's a function of the fact that most of this money, because of the reduced revenues, has to come back to the owners based on the 50-50 split. So there's all sorts of things that need to be dealt with, and at the highest level with Gary Bettman and Donald Fuhr and the Players Association.
You mentioned, of course, you're focused on the hockey aspect of all of this, but you're also in a unique position because you remember what it was like when the Predators were first formed in this market. It was a non-traditional market, using that phrase, and having to build everything from scratch and get new fans involved with your product and coming to the game. So I bring that up because I feel like that this situation that we're in is an opportunity whenever, you know, play resumes, that hockey has an opportunity to bring in new fans. So how do you look at it from that aspect of growing the game, not only this season and finishing this season, but for years to come?
Well, I totally agree with you. I mean, as we've seen in the last you know, couple of weekends, like I watched that golf tournament, event with Tiger and Phil and Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, and I see the ratings on that. We're just we're fabulous. So we know that people are starved for their sports, for entertainment, and I totally agree with you that we have coming back a chance to really capture a new audience, a new fans. So the NHL, again, they're working every day on this, and Sean Henry and on the business side, there's calls virtually every day, multiple calls on doing different things. I've been really impressed with our players, all the players in the NHL, in terms of all the things that they've done, with you guys and in the media, whether it's on your show or other shows, or get into Instagram or Facebook, or having some of these challenges where it's for the benefit of charities. And I think we've come out of our shell, if you will, a little bit in terms of fans really getting to see the personality of some of these players, and I think it's terrific. And again, it's going to support what's our sport going to look like in the next 18 months. So again, and rather than thinking of gloom and doom, what are the opportunities that are out there? And believe me, the people are talking about this at every level of hockey, both in the league office, the PA, and our business side.
Well, let's end with what you just said. You were a part of it. Sean Henry, Austin Watson, Colton Sissons, and Ryan Johansson were all part of our Game 6 remastered, kind of reliving the three-year anniversary of Game 6 against the Ducks in the Western Conference Finals. So thank you for your involvement in that. I thought it was 2 hours of must-listen-to radio, and if you guys weren't able to do that, it wouldn't have been the same. So thanks to you and everybody else involved for being a part of it.
Well, thank you. Thank you guys, too. It was great to relive some of those fabulous memories, obviously some of the best that we've had in our time with the Predators. I'm done. I got goosebumps when it happened, and I got goosebumps talking about it. So it was awesome. We got to do that again.
Well, I was getting ready to say, how about let's create another moment? Let's have another remastered moment here in the very near future, if you know what I mean.
Well, we're going to work towards that.
Hey, David, thanks for doing this. As always, continue to be safe, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
All right, that is David Poile, Predators General Manager, and we do appreciate him joining us. We'll come back and discuss some of the things that you just heard on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.